Welcome back to Reporter's Notebook on WTMJ. On August 1st, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting announced plans to wind down operations by September 30th of this year, save for a small transition team that will remain employed until January. How this will fully impact the landscape of public media in the U.S. still remains unclear, but in northwestern Wisconsin, the state's only independent native radio station already is navigating these murky waters. WOJB, based just southeast of Hayward, also known as Woodland Community Radio, first hit the airwaves in 1982. Per its mission statement, the station, in part, aims to inform citizens of significant issues facing society and also convey the cultural past of the region before and after European settlement. It's also the lone public radio station in Wisconsin currently listed as at risk in recent analysis by the advisory firm Public Media Company. Station General Manager with WOJB, Carl Habick, joins me now on Reporter's Notebook. Carl, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
So, Carl, let's begin first with a little bit of background on the station itself, because in doing research for our conversation, I learned that WOJB was actually the first Native American station east of the Mississippi in the U.S. Is that right?
That's correct. We can say we were came on the air in 1982. The station was originally, arose out of activism. There was a group of people that were instrumental in starting the station, and they recognized that the station would be a good instrument to have their voice heard. And what they were dealing with at the time, there's an incident here at the there's a dam that it's a hydroelectric dam that creates the Chippewa flowage, and the lease on the dam was set to expire, and at that time the dam was supposed to be turned over to the tribe, and of course the power company didn't want to do that. The natives took it upon themselves to occupy the dam, and with the help of the American Indian Movement, they were able to actually win, I guess you would call it. So that was one reason. And then at that time, too, there was a lot of heated conflict going on between natives and particularly outdoorsmen, sportsmen over native fishing rights, native hunting rights, etc. And the station arose out of that and helped to make our voice heard, and we're better for it today.
Looking at how the station WOJB is set up, Carl, I know there's a staff of, I believe it's 7 full and part-timers, but one of the most important things regarding your station setup is the role volunteers play in the day-to-day operations. Can you expound upon that a bit?
Yeah, we have approximately 20 active volunteers, and they're quite an eclectic group, as they come from every political persuasion, gender, race, various preferences, and everything you can imagine, music preferences, and it really adds to the diversity, I think, that our listeners want. That's one thing they enjoy when they tune into us, is we've got something for everybody, and we're represented by everybody here.
Regarding that representation, I know that the station largely targets the native population, the Ojibwe and the Lakotere. Do you receive feedback from the non-native population as well? Is that represented in your listenership?
I don't think we so much as target our native population. I mean, we look at ourselves as almost as a liaison between the native community here and the surrounding area, which is mostly Anglo and or seasonal people that come here, mostly from Minnesota, I would guess. There's a lot of lakes and recreation around here, and hence we have a lot of people that come over and they listen to us in their cabins. A lot of people have cabins, they don't have cable TV, et cetera. And they find their way to WOJB and really come to enjoy it. And eventually a lot of them become listener members in support of the station through donations. So I wouldn't say that we're, you know, targeting any single group. We're pretty diverse. And like I said before, we try to send a message to everybody. But, you know, it is in our mission statement that we are here to educate people as well as far as cultural and the understanding of the Native people and the history of what they've gone through, how they got here, and what we need to do to carry on.
Regarding that, you cover, just by nature of your wattage, a very wide range of a portion of the state that is very rural and very spread out. When it comes to news coverage, how do you decide between you and your team how you're going to cover what it is you're going to cover?
Well, we have two people on our news staff, and what we try to do, well, in the past we've picked up NPR Morning Edition. That's particularly our big news time is in the morning, and you know, that's pretty much all world and national news, and then we allocate an hour for our own local news, and that composes anything of interest in the county, state, local townships, and on the reservation itself. So we have two people that cover that, and we try to do an hour coverage of news that we think will be interesting to our local listeners.
General Manager for WOJB, Carl Hebig, with me on Reporter's Notebook today. I want to turn now, Carl, to the future of the station, which you've previously said you're in a wait-and-see mode as far as what the future could hold when it comes to funding, et cetera. Is that still the case today?
Oh, well, it is the case. You know, as you made it further, a handshake agreement made between the Trump administration and a congressman who elected to change his vote to allow this funding to be cut. But they were allegedly going to allocate some funds that were set aside for some kind of EPA environmental project, and they were going to take 9 point some million of that and give it particularly to Native stations that I just feel those are the ones, and I agree with them, that need it the most, and they're the ones under the biggest threat right now. And that has yet to occur. And the thing that I'm afraid of is they really need to expedite this if they're going to do something, because, like you say, September 30th, that's not only the end of the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, but that's also the fiscal year for virtually every station that's affiliated with CPB, and so at that time of the year, they're going to be running out of money, and you're going to be seeing stations going dark probably by the end of October. But hopefully, we won't be there. I can kind of see this coming, and we are fortunate enough to be able to set a little money aside, and we have plans to stay on the air indefinitely, and we're just tending our irons in the fire right now and seeing what they produce as far as reaching out to different organizations, our listener members, different sources of revenue, upping our underwriting, probably increasing our underwriting rates, you know, anything we can do to generate the $230,000 that we're going to be missing.
You kind of touched a little bit on it just now, but can you, for those who are unfamiliar, can you explain a little bit of how public media funding is set up specifically for a station like yours?
Well, actually, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting was created, I believe, in 1968. And one thing that they wanted to do was they recognized there was a need for communications and media in rural areas of this country. So they created the Community Rural Service Grant, which was a way for public radio stations to get the funds they needed in points of this country where they didn't have the population or the businesses to generate enough funds to keep themselves on the air like you would, you know, people think of a conventional business model, that we should be able to do this on our own without any funding. But when you get in rural communities and areas with not much population, it's very difficult to have a functioning business model that'll provide enough funds just to, I mean, pay your electric bill, for example. I mean, we pay the same bills basically as any other station, be it, you know, WORT in Madison or yourselves in Milwaukee. You know, we pretty much have the same bills. We have to pay our staff. And we just don't have the demographic that can support a conventional business model. So in that way, that's why CPB created the Community Rural Service Grant, which allowed these stations to function.
I know you recently began a fall pledge drive earlier this week. Can you explain sort of who you see typically that is donating to the station, or the type of people that do become listener members of OJB?
I would never say that there's any single type of person. I mean, like I said, we reach out to a diverse audience, and we have people from all walks of life, all political persuasions donate to us. I mean, you know, we have programming that appeals to just about everybody. So, you know, people, you know, tend to have this thought that, you know, we're broadcasting some kind of a left-wing propaganda or something. But what I look at ourselves as a legitimate and factual news source, and I think a lot of people recognize that, and we're just doing what's right for our community and what's right for the best interest and what's the best interest of the Ojibwe people, and that's the way we will continue to function. And if people view that as left wing or one thing or the other, that's you know, that's their opinion, but. I don't think that we, you know, we, like I said, we try to be fair and honest and legitimate, and we give everybody an opportunity to speak. I've invited people from both parties on the air here a number of times, and they're allowed to state their views, and sometimes they show up, sometimes they don't.
You kind of led me into what I wanted to hit on before I let you go, Carl. I know recently you had on and spoke with U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin regarding the state of public radio funding in general. Did you leave that conversation feeling better about the future of the industry, given the largely partisan split we see on this in Washington?
You know, it was very nice of Tammy to come on, Senator Baldwin. You know, when I was on the air with her, and yeah, I think it gave everybody a little sense of optimism and maybe a flicker of light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, in reality, when I got off the air with her and I thought about it, you know, that optimism for me kind of diminished. And when I realized the real situation and, you know, how much can she do? You know, how much can any one individual do? When you're facing, you know, this pretty much partisan outlook on the whole thing, that I don't expect really any federal funding for all radio stations, possibly for native stations, possibly for rural stations, but it's going to be a tough road to hoe for them to release funds. I think we might have something, you know, if we could generate some funds, have something statewide come out of the Madison. I've heard no talk about that either. I've heard no talk about the handshake deal since it took place. And like I say, even if it does take place, I mean, they really have to get moving on this, because, you know, you and I know how government operates, and things take time. And a lot of these stations don't have time, and that's going to be a determining factor if they stay on the air or not.
General Manager for WOJB, just southeast of Hayward, Carl Habick with me on Reporter's Notebook. Carl, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.